am a terrorist. Words are my tools, my weapons. Through them, my thoughts vibrate around your synapses. They infiltrate your mind. They invade your soul. You are the victim of my speech, a casualty of my dangerous talk.
Congratulations, talkers. We did it. Democrats now control the presidency, the House, and the Senate. But let's not jerk ourselves off just yet. It's not all good news, and we still have a lot to do, and we can't get lazy. We have to keep up the fight. A couple of things that I want to talk about that you may or may not have already heard in this race. I want to do a couple of numbers out there. First, the all-important Senate races. We now control 56 of the House seats, and the Republicans now control 40 seats. That leaves a 4-seat difference as of the taping of this show. Georgia, which is expected to have a runoff, I think, but it's close. I mean, I don't know. They're still going to do recounts and stuff, too. I think the Republicans are expected to win that Senate seat. Minnesota, this was a big seat because, of course, Al Franken from Saturday Night Live and Air America. It looks like Al Franken's probably going to lose this seat, but it is close and they will be doing recounts, I am sure. In Oregon, we're probably going to lose that one as well. And in Alaska, it looks right now as if Senator Stevens, 7 times convicted, will be holding on to his seat. Right now, as Wolf Blitzer would say. But we don't know because, you know, this is still early. This is the day after. It's the day after Election Day. So those are some things to consider. I am happy to say that Senator Landrieu, Democrat Mary Landrieu from Louisiana, she is keeping her seat, and that is good. And I'll tell you why I'm saying this. It's not just because she's a Democrat and we need all the seats we got, but I have a special affinity for her because in 2005, she was the lone senator who opposed the Broadcast Decency Act. Of course, in 2006, she voted for it. But that's beside the point. In 2006, it was unanimous, and every senator voted for it. But in 2005, she was the lone dissenter and voice of freedom. So I want to give her a little bit of credit there, and that was important. The other big Senate race in this election that I would like to talk about is one that deals with our very community, the atheist community, and is one that I've gotten into a little tussle with on the internet with a fellow atheist, and I want to talk about it a little bit. It started, I guess, when a fellow atheist, whose handle on MySpace is Atheists, Agnostics, Skeptics, and Humanists on MySpace, he posted a blog about a nasty campaign ad that Elizabeth Dole was putting out that compared her opponent, Kay Hagan, but said that Kay Hagan was, you know, went to some meetings of the Godless Pack, and therefore she is godless, and you shouldn't vote for her because she is evil atheist. And you've all seen the video, I'm sure, of that commercial. It's been played now on CNN and everywhere else. But that was when I first was aware of it, and he asked everybody to donate to Kay Hagan's campaign to kind of fight this back, and I did that. I donated to Kay Hagan's campaign. I sent out that message. I also wrote a letter to Kay Hagan's campaign saying that I support her because she went to the Godless America Pack. And as it turns out, closer into the election, when this commercial of Elizabeth Dole's hit the press, Kay Hagan decided to hold a press conference and say that she is, in fact, a Christian. And, you know, I don't really care either way on that. and that she is opposed to Elizabeth Dole associating her with atheists. I don't know the exact wording there, but something to that effect. And, of course, my friend on MySpace, he was outraged by it, and he was very upset, and rightfully so. I mean, it's it's a rough thing, let's say that. And so I wrote a letter to Kay Hagan's campaign saying that I am disappointed because there was a teachable moment here about tolerance and whatnot, and Kay Hagan wasted it. And I said in my letter that while I hope Kay Hagan still wins, I wish I hadn't donated to her. I did get a very nice letter back from her campaign saying that she is committed to tolerance and all that other stuff and freedom of religion, and she supports, you know, atheist issues, you know, separation of church and state and whatnot. And I posted those two letters on this my fellow atheists blog, so you can check that out on MySpace. I'm sure you can find it. He's all over the place on MySpace. And he usually provides a lot of great information. But this time, I think he was a little too angry. And he wanted us to make Kay Hagan lose so we can take credit for her losing. But the reality is, if Kay Hagan lost, Elizabeth Dole would take credit for her losing. And the press would say she lost because she associates with atheists. Now, if she wins, at least we have the more progressive of the two candidates winning, and we can say, we can spin it our way and say that she won because Elizabeth Dole unfairly attacked atheists. As it turns out, Kay Hagan did win, and she won by a lot. So we can take credit for that. I don't know if we deserve that credit, but we can certainly take that credit and we can spin it this way, because this is a lose-lose situation and this is the only way we can win. So we can say Kay Hagan won because Elizabeth Dole attacked atheists. There you go. We can spin it. Now, the Godless America PAC. As you know, or as Wolf Blitzer would say, as you well know, the Godless America PAC is still pretty small. They don't have a lot of money because atheists are very stingy when it comes to giving money, especially in politics. They'll give it to candidates, but they won't tell candidates that they're doing it in the name of atheism. And that's fine. But I still think that if we're going to become a viable voice where we can lobby, then we need to support the Godless America PAC. And I think it's important that we do donate to Godless America and that we continue to make our voice heard. And the best way to do that, aside from donating to Godless America, or when we donate to candidates, let them know that the money comes from Godless Americans, is to let people know that we are atheists. And when we meet candidates, we let them know that we're an atheist or humanist or whatever label you want to use, and that we support them because of their positions on important issues that we consider, that we hold as valuable. And I think we have to make that point known. Now, at first, most politicians will kind of back away because the Republicans have demonized us, if you will, and we're a political liability. But if we can prove that we are a political benefit to these candidates, they will want to be a part of us. They will want our money. They will want our support. And I always talk about my friend Joe Huffle, who was a U.S. congressman, and I got to meet him on the campaign trail. We became kind of friendly. I was in Washington, D.C. at the Supreme Court building, rallying for separation of church and state when they had the case In God We Trust. I know it was Under God and the Pledge. And I happened to be outside the Supreme Court holding a sign. I think it was Your Friendly Neighborhood Atheist. And Joe Huffel was walking from his office to the Capitol building, and he spotted me and he called out to me and walked over to me, and I started talking to him. He was wondering why I was so far from Pennsylvania, and I pointed to my sign, my placard that I was holding up, said because of this Supreme Court case, and he looked at the placard and he started walking away. But then he came back because he is a friend of mine, and he does realize the progressive issue is important, and it took a lot of courage for him to come back and continue talking to me with all the cameras around, by the way. And he was actually the first guest on Dangerous Talk, on the restart of Dangerous Talk. So I am proud of that. And now he is a county commissioner in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. So I always give him my support. And I think it's important that we let these candidates know who we are and that we support them. And even though this Kay Hagan thing is a little setback, we can turn it into a positive and we can move on. It's activism and it takes time. There's another community that deals with very similar issues that we do, maybe even a little bit harsher than we do, but they've made a lot of progress, and that, of course, is the gay community. And while we were all celebrating the Obama victory, there is some disappointment to their community that I would like to address. There are some ballot measures on the table, and they were not kind to the gay community. Arizona, Proposition 102 bans gay marriage. It was approved. It is now illegal in the Constitution of Arizona to get gay married. So that's it's Arizona though, so we can't complain too much because it's kind of expected. But it was I'm not going to say it was close, but it was closer than we would have thought it would be. 56% to 44. So, we're making some headway with that, but, we need to push forward more. Arkansas, initiative number one, bans gay couples from adopting children. Of course, that also passed. So, that kind of sucks, especially, what really sucks is, I wonder what would happen if a gay couple already had an adoptive kid. Is the state going to come knocking on the door and take their kid away? I want to know that. I'm curious. I mean, because that's really scary. And I think we need to know about that. Of course, I want to skip California for now. Go back to that one later. Florida, Proposition number 2, bans gay marriage. I talked about that on the last show. They needed, actually, this is a weird one, because they needed 60% of the vote to get this one to pass, and they got it, 62%. So gay marriage is now banned in Florida. That is not good. Let's see, other ones for gay-related issues. I think Connecticut Prop 1, or it's not even a prop, it's something 1. Connecticut, as you well know, just passed gay marriage, and so you can get gay married in Connecticut. This Prop 1, as I'm calling it, wouldn't ban it or anything like that, but it does call for a constitutional convention in which they could ban gay marriage. As it turns out, no constitutional convention is warranted at this time, so gay marriage—that's positive. Gay marriage does exist now in Connecticut. In New York, this relates to New York because New York—you can't get gay married in New York, but New York will recognize gay marriage. And the Democrats took control of the Senate in New York, the New York Senate. So, and Governor Patterson is a fan of gay marriage. So, it is conceivable that they will legalize gay marriage completely there. But for now, you can't get gay married there, but they recognize gay marriage. Connecticut's a hop, skip, and a jump from New York, so people can go to Connecticut, get married, and live in New York. So that's a positive. And now to the big one, California, Prop 8. Unfortunately, this one passes. And they were saying this was going to be close, but it's 52 to 48, 4 points. I mean, it's not as close as we were hoping it would be. I mean, well, we were hoping it wouldn't be close on the other way, but I'm surprised. We're talking about California here, the left coast, you know, and that was disappointing. That was a shocker, a disappointment, especially since a lot of celebrities were out there. Lindsay Lohan had a blog on MySpace trying to get people to vote no on Prop 8. I had my picture up in my image on MySpace changed to Obama and McCain kissing and saying, vote no on Prop 8, prop8.com or whatever the website, noonprop8.com. But there was a lot of effort, a lot of money spent on trying to turn that around. And that means Sulu is no longer married. I think it means Sulu is no longer married. I don't know. George Takei. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen since they've banned it. Now, I've heard rumors that we're going to try and fight it, but I don't think you can because it's in the Constitution now. So I don't see, the only way you can fight it is to amend the Constitution again. I would think. I'm not sure. Maybe it's not in the Constitution. I don't know. So we'll have to stay tuned and learn more about that. There were other ballot proposals that I think were interesting in this race. Let's go through a couple of them real quick here. Allowing medical marijuana in Michigan, that passed. Allowing stem cell research in Michigan, that passed. So that is good. Limiting abortion, that did not pass. That's good. Doctor-assisted suicide, that passed in Washington. That's good. Oh, the abortion limit was in South Dakota, by the way. Now, here's a one in Nebraska. Ending affirmative action. That's right. Nebraska has officially ended affirmative action. Now, my line on affirmative action has always held that the states that want to end affirmative action shouldn't. The states that don't want to end affirmative action, they might be able to. I think it's funny because, you know, if you want to end it, it probably means you shouldn't. I mean, let's face it. That's just the way it is. If you look, Nebraska, probably not a good idea. They probably need affirmative action in Nebraska. But, anyway, that's that. There are a couple House seats that I want to talk about also. And then there are some exit polls as well. Two House seats. I talked a lot about Michelle Bachmann in Minnesota. She was the one who wanted the new McCarthy hearings in the Senate. She actually won her seat. She kept her seat. It was close. It was between 2 percentage points. She kept her seat. So she wanted she thinks that they're anti-Americans in the U.S. Congress, and she wants us to root them out. Meanwhile, of course, she's, by saying that, I think she's anti-American. But hey, you know, and I think she doesn't know history either. She doesn't know the McCarthy era. But hey, she's still a U.S. congressperson, and that's a damn shame. On the plus side for us, and this wasn't really contested, but I want to point it out, Pete Stark is still the only atheist in the U.S. Congress. He won back he kept his seat. I would say a landslide, 76% to 24%. He is still the atheist congressperson. So I'm proud of that. In my experience in an election, I want to kind of go through it a little bit because I went into Philly that night, last night. And Philly is heavily Democrat, to say the least. And on the way in, there was people yelling, you know, before even the polls closed, people cheering for Obama, people all excited. Garbage truck was driving around, plastered with Obama stickers and placards, honking its horn. You know, the city was excited. And I'll tell you, I did not see one McCain person in the city. Got to the bar with the Free Thought Society, Greater Philadelphia, FSGP. Met with them. We were going to watch the results come in a nonpartisan manner. And everybody in the bar, atheists and non-atheists, everybody in the bar were Obama supporters. I did not see one person, including people who worked there, who were cheering for McCain. Not one. So it was good to see a lot of liberal people out there. Many of them didn't really understand how things were going down. I had to kind of explain some of it. But it was a good night. And I remember seeing Pennsylvania come up, and we were always contesting. I mean, they said we were ahead in the polls and everything, but, you know, McCain kept coming out here, kept saying he's going to win it. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I got worried the night before the election. I got worried. You know, I'm seeing a lot of McCain, you know, lawn signs out here. You know, it's scary. And I'm in the suburbs, and that's what they call the swing of Pennsylvania. And, you know, I'm seeing a lot of McCain signs. Yeah, I'm getting nervous. But I'll say, election day morning, I was out and I saw on my door, they had a sign that said, you know, vote Obama. This is where your polling place is. Don't be fooled, type of thing. And I saw, I went out to a couple different counties, Delaware County, where I live, and Chester County, where I used to live, and I saw these signs on all kinds of doors. And it was a good thing, because I heard in Virginia, a letter went out that said, Republicans vote on the 4th, Democrats on the 5th, as a way to get people not to vote, and Democrats not to vote. But they, you know, Democrats here, they had these signs out to vote today. You know, this is the polling times. This is your specific polling location. They had it printed up for every area. They had their polling place listed, which was good. And I saw people putting them on doors. I saw a van painted with you know, voter bus taking college students to the polls. And I saw the girl driving it was wearing an Obama pin. It made me feel a little at ease because the ground game was so much better. Obama's ground game was phenomenal compared to Kerry. I remember when, you know, I was working on the Kerry campaign, even though I wasn't really a fan of his. And all we did was stand out in the middle of the street holding signs, vote Kerry, vote Kerry. And, you know, I saw that too for Obama, but there was much more of a ground game for Obama, and that was just phenomenal to see. So that made me a little bit easier, but when they called Pennsylvania, and by the way, Pennsylvania won by 10 points for Obama. So it was pretty much what the polls were saying, like the highest poll, I think it was like 14 points in some polls, and 2 points for Fox's poll, you know, or the Mason-Dixon poll or whatever the crap that is. So I think it was pretty well done. We did pretty well here in Pennsylvania. And then I heard, you know, Ohio get called. And I was like, oh, it's over. It's done. We got this one locked up. But they can still steal. I text messaged a friend of mine in Virginia who told me that they waited, a bunch of them waited online for 2 hours to vote. I waited 5 minutes. 5 minutes. They waited 2 hours to vote, and it was close in Virginia, and Obama won it, and I said that it's 2 hours well worthwhile. But it was close. Then got home from the bar, I was watching TV, seeing all the returns coming in, and they're saying this was, I was watching, I think this was CNN that said this, The guy is saying, he's looking at the numbers based on what had come in. He said, even if we give McCain this state and this state, and which is, you know, he probably won't get, and maybe we'll give him this state. And let's say McCain wins. Oh, so we give him all those states. He still won't win. Let's say the only way he can really win is if we give him, you know, California, Oregon, and Washington. And the guy goes, and I'll bet my life that he won't do that. He would bet his life that he wouldn't do that. And I just started laughing my ass off. And as it turns out, right at 11 o'clock, you know, as soon as those polls closed, game, done, match. And, I mean, everything here was just crazy. I'm sure it was crazy where everybody else is. It was nuts. So I was happy to see it, and the concession speeches were good that McCain gave. People said, you know, there was some criticism of McCain's speech because he said this was an important moment for black people, and a lot of people thought, you know, it's an important moment for all people, you know, in history for all Americans. But I will say that McCain didn't exactly say that. I mean, he maybe didn't speak as clearly as he wanted to, but he did say it was a especially historic moment for black people. It's still a historic moment for all of us, but I think he recognizes, you know, that there was a long fight for civil rights and the whole thing. So I won't blame him for that. He did try to mend fences. I think he could have done a better job of mending fences. I think he could have said, I admit it, Barack Obama doesn't really pal around with terrorists. I think he could have said, I admit it, Barack Obama really isn't a socialist. He really isn't a communist. He really isn't a Muslim. I made all that stuff up because I wanted to win an election. I think he could have said that. I think he could have said that he's a good man. He'll, you know, he's the president now, and I'll do everything I can to help him. And he did say that he would do everything he can to help him, but I think he should have taken back some of those names that he called Obama. Because some of those names, there are people out there, and, you know, it's only been one day, but I've talked to Republicans since then, and they still really believe that Obama is a communist Muslim terrorist. So I think it's, you know, and I wrote a blog about that today, being, you know, the day after Election Day, you know, and I wrote on Election Day too, I think. If the Republicans, if you're a Republican out there who really does believe that Obama is a secret Muslim, whatever that means, how can you be a secret Muslim? I don't understand that. You know, are there any secret Christians out there? I want to know. You know, what does that mean, secret Muslim? But that's the terms they're using. He's a secret Muslim, or pals around with terrorists. If you really believe that, you really believe the president of the United States pals around with terrorists, should you really be in this country? I mean, liberals joke about, you know, or some are serious and say, you know, if a Republican wins, we're moving to Canada. I think Republicans, now that they've lost, should move to Iraq. I really do. I really do. I will say this, though. Our president, George W. Bush, currently, because he's still president until January 20th, but his days are now officially numbered. We have a number. That's it. He's done. He pals around with terrorists. We know that because we have a picture of him holding a terrorist's hand. Holding his hand. You know? So that guy, that sheikh funds terrorists. So there you go. Who got all the bin Ladens out of the country after 9/11? Bush. But, you know, we're done with Bush now, and I'm glad. I do want to address this point, though, even though it's not really necessary at this time, but for the future. Whenever I hear people say, you know, if the Republicans win, I'm leaving the country, I'm going to Canada, I always say the same thing, and I want to say it again, because it is very important. If America is the last battleground, okay, we are it. If we leave and the religious right really takes control of this country, I mean, they had control for 8 years, but they didn't have full control. I mean, you can still get abortions. You know, and there's still, you know, atheists aren't burned at the stake. If they took full control, I mean, where, you know, say Gary Bauer could do whatever the hell he wanted, or Sarah Palin could do whatever the hell she wanted and had full control, I think they wouldn't stop there. See, evangelical Christianity has this message that they have to spread the gospel. And they believe that if you aren't an evangelical Christian like they are, a real Christian, because, you know, there are plenty of Christians out there, according to the religious right, who aren't real Christians. If you're not a real Christian, you're going to be tortured for all eternity in hell. And that they believe it is their mission to save you. And they will do it by any means necessary. And it goes back to the argument I've made in the past, or actually it's a Christian argument that I've, you know, talked about a lot in the past, what I call the car bomb argument. And the argument by the Christian goes like this: if you knew that your friend's car had a bomb in it, wouldn't you do anything and everything you possibly could to stop your friend from getting in the car? And of course you would. But if your friend calls in the bomb squad, and the bomb squad says, we don't see a bomb there, and you're still going, there's a bomb in there, trust me, it can blow off at any time, you have to have faith, and you go, after the bomb squad came in and looked it over and couldn't find anything, I'm going to drive my car, and you start driving around in your car, and your friend, and you're still yelling, oh, there's a bomb in the car, don't drive it, it could go off at any time, it may not go off today, no one knows the time or the day, but it's going to go off and you're going to die. You're going to say that the guy is a lunatic. And, you know, you're not going to believe that there's a car in the bomb in the car. So, but that's their view of the world, that there is a car, there is a bomb in the car, and the car being, you know, life, and you know, the bomb being sin. So, you know, you're going to go to hell, and they're going to do whatever it takes to stop you from going to hell, even if they have to use force. Any means necessary. The ends justify the means. And that means if you have full control of the United States government and you have full access to all the nuclear weapons, you will use them on the entire world. If it means you can save their souls, you can frighten just one person into saving their soul, then it's worth it. It's one more point for God, one less point for Satan, and they'll do it. America is the last battleground. Instead of Americans going to Canada, we should have Canadians coming to here, coming to America. Europeans, come to America. If you're a liberal, come to America. Fortunately, we don't have to worry about that for at least 4 more years because we have now full control of the presidency, the House, and the Senate. But we don't have the 60 votes in the Senate necessary to overrule a filibuster of sorts. So we do, it's not a full victory. And in the House, while we still have control, I was hoping we would get to the 2/3 majority in which we could pass amendments to the Constitution. To do that, we would need 287, and we are at 254. So we're not quite there yet. And, you know, maybe after the midterm elections, we'll be there. So we still need to fight. You know, it ain't over. And the other thing we have to do, and this is a lesson I learned after the last midterm election, was I was so glad in the last midterm election when we won. Democrats won control of the House and the Senate. And then what happened? Nancy Pelosi pussied out, and we, you know, the House and the Senate just, you know, rubber stamped George Bush at every turn. And I said, what the hell? You know, they didn't impeach Bush. They didn't do They voted for Bush's wiretapping amendment. They supported him on his wiretapping. You know, they reauthorized the Patriot Act. I'm not even sure about that. But, the war continued. They kept funding it. You know, what the hell? I thought we voted these guys in to take care of that problem. Oh, well, we can't because, you know, if we did, you know, blah, blah, blah. Excuse after excuse. And, you know, that's just not going to cut it. Now, we have Democrats everything, okay? We could still be beaten on some things, but really, we don't really have the obstacles that we had. There should really be no excuse to pass some of these things. I mean, we can't get the gay marriage amendment, in which we can legalize gay marriage into the Constitution, because, like I said, we don't have the two-thirds majority in the House. So I'm not expecting something like that, but I am expecting things like stem cell research. I am expecting things like better science education in the curriculums, you know, better funding of education programs. I am expecting some of these things, which were promised, that Democrats can now deliver on, and I want to see them deliver on some of these things. I want to see an end to the Iraq war. I would like to see more resources being put towards greener America. I would like to see alternative energy being pushed. I would like to see these things, and I'm not sure that we will, because politics is politics. They're afraid if they go too far left, they'll lose the Republicans, and they'll lose their seats. So it's up to us, and this is the next phase of dangerous talk. While we're still fighting the religious right, we also have to fight the religious left, and we also have to push our Congress, our Senate, our fellow Democrats to move in a more progressive fashion. And Obama, despite being the most liberal senator, is a centrist. And he is not a very liberal senator. And I don't know if he's going to be a very liberal president. And we have to push and put effort into making him a liberal president and making him progressive. And you know what? I say hell with it. Push the amendment, you know, to legalize gay marriage. See what happens. Let's see what kind of response we get. Because I think now, while we won't win that's not going to be something we'll win. It will definitely be a proving ground to see what kind of support we got. Who's going to stand with us and who's not? You know, are the Republicans going to all of them go no? Are Democrats going to go no? Where are we going to stand here? Who are the people we can count on for some of these freedom for religion and freedom from religion issues? Who can we count on for the separation of church and state? I want to see that. I want to know. I want to know who really is supporting free speech on some of these issues. You know, whether it's the FCC or some other issue in relation to that. Now, I need to know. I want to know. And I think we can push these things now with some confidence. Now, I understand they're going to try and, you know, Obama's going to try to mend the fences of this campaign. Even though he has all this political capital, the Republicans are going to convince him that he has no capital. And this was a very close election. And that he better be careful, because if he goes too liberal, he'll lose the center. He'll lose the conservatives. But, you know, we have to say, the Republicans, I give them one thing. They got balls. Okay? They'll push any wacky legislation, and they don't care. They know it's going to fail, and they don't care. We need to have those balls. We need to push the, not wacky legislation, but progressive legislation, positive legislation for real change. And I don't think Obama is the magic pill that's going to do that, necessarily. But it's up to us, dangerous talkers, to speak out and to let our Democratic elected Democrats know that we expect something from them, that we don't expect them to just sit on their asses. They have to do something, And we need to have that. So the fight never ends. And we have to keep fighting. We need to keep fighting for progressive values. We have to keep fighting for the rights of atheists, for issues concerning the separation of church and state. We have to keep fighting for our friends in the gay community. We have to keep fighting for all these things. And we cannot just, you know, celebrate and not realize that we still have some great challenges ahead of us. As I will say this, I am very hopeful for the future now that Obama has won. But we still have work to do. We still have work to do. And I want to talk about some of these exit polls, too, because I think they're some of them are important in relation to our demographic here. Vote by religion. Protestants, 54% of the electorate, voted mostly for McCain. 54%. And Obama, 45%. So it was pretty close. Catholics, 27% of the electorate, voted for Obama, 54% to 45%. Jews, 2% of the electorate, voted 78% for Obama. So Lieberman did jack shit. Other, that would be 6%, possibly including atheists, but we don't know. 73% voted for Obama, 22% for McCain, 5% other. None. That would be non-theistics, most likely that would be our community. 12% of the electorate. So we got 12% of the vote out there, probably. And 75% of us voted for Obama. So that I like how they have none, because I think that that's our community there, you know. And 12%, that tells you there are more. Just think about this. 2% of the electorate were Jews. 12% were none. 12% were atheists or without religion, without God. That's we destroy the Jews in numbers in as far as a voting block, but we're not a block, and that's the problem. But we are a block here. You know, 75% of atheists voted for Obama. Meanwhile, 78% of Jews voted for Obama, but you know there are much more of us, it seems, than there are of the Jews, 6 times more. So, you know, I think we have a block here. The Godless America PAC is a strong move for us. And I think we need to appreciate that. And we need to take advantage of that and start voting more as a block and start getting out there more. And if we fund the Godless PAC more, they'll have more money to give to candidates, and candidates will want to listen to us a little bit better. You know? Let's see here. Then they try to mix us with race. I don't want to do that. Vote by church attendance. Here's another good one. Okay. If someone has gone to church more than weekly, 12%. 12% of people, of voting people, go to church more than weekly. 43% of them voted for Obama, 55% for McCain. So that's pretty decent, I guess. If they go to church weekly, the same percentage, 43-55. They go to church monthly. More people who go to church monthly voted for Obama, 53% to 46%. A few times a year, that would be the holiday Jews. Well, more than that, because 28% go to church a few times a year. And they, 59% voted for Obama, 39% for McCain. Never. People who never go to church, 16%. That's atheists and then some. Never go to church. 67% voted for Obama. 30% voted for McCain. Vote by church attendance. That's kind of the same question, just narrowly. Vote by religious. That's a mix. Okay, white evangelical born again. That's how they label it here. White evangelical born again. And I have to turn the page. And 23% said yes, they are white evangelical born again. And out of that 26%, which actually seems kind of low, but okay, I'll take it. We're moving up. And 74% voted for McCain, 24% for Obama. So Obama got 24% of the evangelical born-again vote. Kerry got 29%. Obama, for all his kissing ass of the religious left and the religious right, trying to sing kumbaya with them and have a sit-down, he actually did worse than Kerry did with that group. So maybe he's learned something. Atheists supported Obama 75%. Fundamentalist Christians, 24%. Maybe he'll figure out where his bread is buttered. Maybe he'll be a little bit more receptive to us, you know? But we have to go out there. We have to make contact with him and let him know. Let him know those numbers. I think that's important. Non-evangelicals, 74%. Of the electorate are non-evangelicals, and 62% of them voted for Obama. White Protestant born again. See, now they're mixing race with it. It's about the same. It's not really any different. Oh, well, maybe. White Protestant born again, 23% of the electorate. They voted 73% for McCain. White Protestant non-born again. Oh, okay, that's 19%. 55 for McCain. So, yeah, we got some of those going on. But I think it is interesting to note that atheists supported McCain and born-again Christians did not. I mean, atheists supported Obama. Born-again Christians did not. And that there are, you know, 12% that are not religious. And does that mean they're atheist or atheistic? I would say yes. I mean, you may have some that say they're, you know, no to religion, but, you know, they're still spiritual. But I would say it's a pretty good indicator. And we have 12%. I mean, that's a block. We got to use that. Come on. So put that in your blogs. 12% of the electorate are atheists. And they voted 75% for Obama. 2% are Jews. They voted 78% for Obama. Those are good numbers there. You know? We're doing all right. Well, anyway. Oh, I did want to say this. We did have another atheist candidate who did run for an office right here in Pennsylvania for state representative, my good friend Ian Thomas. He didn't do too well, and that's unfortunate. He actually did take money from the Godless America PAC, and he has it prominently on his website. Well, maybe not prominently, but it's on his website, nevertheless. And I think it's ianthomas08.com. But he didn't win, but I'm sure Ian will run again for another office. And when he does, we need to lend him his support. And Ian is a former board member of the FSGP, Free Thought Society of Greater Philadelphia. I served with him on that board. I'm no longer a member now. Well, I'm a member of the organization, but I'm no longer a board member. So, you know, he's definitely in the community, and he's running for office. And I think more atheists should run for office. And I don't think we have to hide that we're atheists when we run for office. I really don't. I think we should be vocal about it. We should be proud that we're a non-Christian voting, you know, running for office. I think we got to make that clear, throw that out there right away. It's going to turn people off at first, but they'll get over it quickly. You know, that will be the big buzz, but you know what? It gets media attention. I'll tell you, I think it's a good idea. I think you ought to consider it. I think Dangerous Talkers, it's easy to sit on the sidelines and complain. You know, oh, you know, the two-party system, blah, blah, blah. But it takes a lot to run. I say run. All you have to do, go to your county Democratic Party, or if you're a Green, go to your county Green and say, look, I'm thinking about running in 2010. You know, I'm thinking of running for an office, and say, would you support me? You know, if I run on your ticket, who in your party can I get to help me run my campaign? And if it's early enough now, do it now. Do it now. Run for state reps in your states. Run for state senate. Run for borough council. Run for mayor. I don't care. Run for Congress. You know, that may take a little bit of work. You might have to work your way up to that. Trust me, I've learned that one from experience. But seriously, though, I think it's time atheists get out there and, you know, really start running for stuff, you know? And I know there are a lot of atheists who are libertarian, and I think that's retarded. But still, you know, run as a libertarian if you want. Get out there. But I think, seriously, run as Democrats, you know, because, let's face it, Greens and libertarians, their chances are slimmer. I mean, if you got a good Green support system, build that up, you know, and run that way. But yeah, run for office. That's what I'm saying. We got some announcements, and then we're going to call it a show. If I can find my announcement sheet here somewhere, all my papers. Here we go. Okay, first, dangeroustalk.net for all your dangerous needs, of course. And email the show at dangeroustalk@gmail.com. You can check us out on Dangerous Demand, hear this show and many other shows, through dangeroustalk.net, through our MySpace page. It's myspace.com/dangeroustalk. YouTube, youtube.com/dangeroustalk. Facebook, facebook.com/dangeroustalk. We're on them all. Not on Facebook very often, but I'm there. Check out the daily blog on MySpace. Please comment on that. Repost the bulletin in the morning. Subscribe. You know, I've really been pushing that a lot, the daily blog. Got a lot of good response. I've been making it on to the top, at least the top 20 blogs every time I blog, usually. So it's getting out there. So be dangerous. Join those blogs. We have some projects and competitions. Halloween just happened. We still have the Halloween Forever project. Okay, dress up in your Halloween costume while it's still out there, while you haven't put it away in mothballs yet. And print out Dangerous Talk logo. Have somebody take a picture of you holding the Dangerous Talk logo in your costume. And send it in to us at dangeroustalk@gmail.com. Reason why I have you hold the Dangerous Talk logo is, one, as proof that it's you. And two, because I want the publicity. So please do that. And of course, the Free Them for Freedom project, always popular. You can read all about that on dangeroustalk.net. I won't go into the details there. Most dangerous song competition and the most dangerous art competition. You can vote on those. Most dangerous song competition. I want to point out something. One of the contestants there is Eric Schultz. Eric Schultz recently wrote a video for YouTube where a friend of his is dressed up as Palin and sings a song. It's very, very funny. I highly recommend. We have, of course, our photo gallery, where you can take pictures of yourselves in regular clothes holding the Dangerous Talk logo and send that in to us. We'd love to post that on the website. And we also have spokesmodels, Aaron, Jackie, and Sarah, who have their photos in Dangerous Talk photo gallery and on the MySpace page. Check them out. We have supporters. Couple of organizations I want to give shout-outs to. Of course, Rational Response Squad, rationalresponders.com, fsgp.org, Free Thought Society, Greater Philadelphia. Not just for Philadelphians anymore, by the way. Atheist Alliance International, which is atheistalliance.org, I believe. I could be wrong about that. Freethoughtaction.com. I highly support them. Buy a bumper sticker. Put it on your card. They're the ones that have the billboards up. Say, don't believe in God. You're not alone. Great. I have one of them on my car. go get yourself a bumper sticker just like that. Put it all over the place. Dangerous Talk forums on rationalresponders.com, so you can check that out. The Dangerous Store, where we have t-shirts if you want to buy a t-shirt with Dangerous Talk logo on it. I was going to make a secondary store, but I never fully finished that. I was thinking of doing like a design a month and putting it up there and seeing, you know, people would be interested in that. But I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't know. I'm lazy. I got too many other things going on. You can donate to the show. We do accept donations. However, you know, I don't really want people donating to the show. You know, I already have come to the conclusion show isn't going to make me a little money. So I'd rather you donate that money to, you know, Free Thought Action or FSGP or you know, Rational Responders, another organization that will use the money much better than I would. So I'm going to, Atheists for Autism Research, some, you know, donate to those groups, you know. That's where I want the money to go. And that's about it, talkers. It was a good election day. I'm happy. And we still have to keep fighting. It ain't over yet. And we'll still be out there. And soon I hope to do another show with Greg Cooper. So stay tuned for that at some point. Very soon. In the meantime, stay dangerous, and see you next time.
I am a terrorist. Words are my tools, my weapons. Through them, my thoughts vibrate around your synapses. They infiltrate your mind. They invade your soul. You are the victim of my speech, a casualty of my dangerous talk.